السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
کل ایک خبر آئی تھی کہ پوپ نے
حضور شیخ وی ریسیوڈ دی نیوز یسٹرڈے دیٹ ان ہز لیکچر ان دی یونیورسٹی ان جرمنی پوپ سیڈ
اور قرآن کریم
talked about some about Islamic teaching and about the Holy Quran and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam giving reference to some other writers had said things which have no distant link with Islam. This is their method that very cunningly referring to someone else, they try to save themselves and do make statements. Pope Sahib, by saying things which
بانی اسلام صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے بارے میں
has given a statement about Islam, the founder of Islam and about its teachings has tried to give an impression which must have created restlessness among Islam. By which they also do display their own feelings. The station of a pope is such that no matter whether he says something with any other reference, it was not appropriate. Especially at the time when in the West, with some reference of another, they are creating feelings of hatred. for Pope to make such statement was like adding fuel to fire. What he should have said was that although some extremist Islamic organization has taken extreme stand, but the teachings of Islam is against such a reaction, and to keep peace in the world we should get together and save the innocent populace from destruction. Rather than saying this, he has tried to set his followers on the path that this is actually the teaching of Islam. I had thought that Pope is a very refined personality and must have some knowledge about Islam, but he has expressed his lack of knowledge about this. Jesus, for which he claims to which he seems to claim, by following his teaching he should have tried to establish peace in the world, because Jesus has given teaching even to treat your enemies in love, with love. But attributing wrong things to Holy Quran, he has played with the feelings of Muslims, and as I said, as a reaction, those Muslims who have no control over their feelings, they will take such steps which will give these people another opportunity to give false propaganda in Islam. Those who follow Pope and those who live in the West, who consider Islam an extremist religion, such people will develop extreme hatred against Muslims. May Allah have mercy and save the world from unrest and disturbance. Ahmadis should always pray for this, and with the prayer they have raised these questions, and the lecture he has given, the Ahmadis should also reply to it. This is the only two weapons that we have, which we have to use. Neither has an Ahmadi shown any different reaction, nor it shall, inshallah, show such reaction, but let me read the words of Pope, who has mentioned in his lecture in Germany, and I have received this text from Germany. He says, that I had read an article which a German professor of university has published, and this was a discussion in 1391 in Ankara between a Christian and an Iranian, and the Christian scholar had said this, but at the same time he accepts that because this dialogue has been published from Christian, he has said that. And here you can see the honesty and sincerity, that whatever the statement was of a Muslim scholar, it has not been referred to and only mentioned what the Christian said. The questions he has raised are, that I will try to talk on this particular point in my lecture, and the point is that Kaiser has mentioned jihad, and Kaiser certainly knew of, and he is giving reference to 256 verse of chapter 2, that there is no compulsion in religion in Islam. But he says that he also knew the teaching of jihad later. For example, there are some other details that one should give different treatment to the people of the book and others. And he says that Kaiser raises this question and says, what is the link between religion and compulsion? And he says, show me what else he has brought. And there were wrong teachings, after which the Holy Prophet gave the teaching that his religion should be spread with the force of sword. And then he says why it is against intelligence to spread with force. He says that Allah does not like shedding blood, and intelligence is in clash with that, and the faith is the fruit of religion. And then he says further that Kaiser, who was trained with the Greek philosophy, his statement is a fact, that when Islam is he says that even it does not follow any rules even of intelligence. Then there is a French Islamic expert, he has given the quotation that no one can force Allah, and whether Ibn Azm ever said that, he hasn't given any reference that Allah can even force people to worship idols. So this is a Greek thought, and whether, and in my view, that there is compatibility in that and whatever the Bible teaches. As I said, he is himself accepting this, that the Kaiser's own words are more thorough, and the Christian who has written his story, it is clear that to show his greatness, he had to strengthen his argument, and he has not mentioned the other arguments. Certainly, they must have used justice, but whatever it was, what we as Muslim and as Ahmadi think about it, the Holy Quran, and from the practice of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I will give some explanation. I will try to make it brief. But for Pope, we will prepare the reply to these questions, and we will try to convey to him, so that if he, so far he was unaware of the teachings of Islam, he can come to know of the true teaching, with the condition that by considering his station and status, he should read it with reflection and pondering. In our heart, we have great respect of Jesus, and we consider him prophet of Allah, and whatever prophets have come to all the nations, we believe in all of them and we respect all of the prophets. Christians should also value and take regard of the Muslim feeling and respect the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Holy Quran. As I said that by referring to Qaisar, Pope says that the verse 256 of chapter 2 was known by Qaisar, which is La Ikraha Fiddin, then in the matter of faith there is no compulsion. He says this was the earliest chapters, but it's not so early, it's the first 2 years in Medina. But Qaisar also knew other teachings, other chapters, and he knew the concept of jihad, whether he knew it or not, but he was prejudiced. He says that in the Holy Quran there is a different instruction to treat differently the those who disbelievers and the people of the book. God forbid, in the teachings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam there are non-human teachings will be found, nothing else you will find. As what they claim, that he said that Islam should be spread with the force or sword. They have attributed falsely something which has no link with the teachings of Islam, has given the verdict themselves that these are things in clash with the intelligence and are in clash with the justice of God. He says an intelligent man does not need force and weapons, but an intelligent man, and this is the fact, that an intelligent man does not need weapon and force. This is quite correct, and one does not need weapons or force. But these days their great powers, they are interfering in the nations who are sitting thousands of miles away. Why are they using force? And they are not giving reply to this. First they should make their own people understand what is right they are doing and what is wrong they are doing. And even in the history of Christians there were wars. Why don't they talk about them? Don't they see them? And whatever happened in Spain when there was Inquisition, in which category do they put them? Now, as he says, that the writer knew, or the debater knew, the teachings of Islam, which were later on, what is the teachings of Islam in spreading religion, and what was the practice of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that man did not knew what was the practice of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I will put before you. Islam is a religion of according to the nature of man, and it has not given the teaching, certainly not given the teaching, that if someone slaps you on one cheek, you should turn the other cheek. Those who have been given this teaching, they should tell us to what extent do they act upon it. These are the commands which have removed Christians away from religion. They only attend church once a week. Even now people don't go except those who are elderly. They are using churches for other functions and they let them out. In the Western world there are for sale boards on many of the churches. A professor in America, Edwin, that he wrote that the 20th century people are not ready to believe Jesus as God. Then Saint Joseph, who is the president of Oxford, he says that you must always remember that a large part of the European men and women are no longer Christian. Perhaps we should say that a large majority of them is such. Similarly, about Africa, there are various statements. They admit themselves that the teaching is coming to an end. So they only got one option, that they use false statement against Islam. Whatever they talk about Islam, the non-Muslims, what do they say? They say Kaiser knew about Quran. Let's see what the Holy Quran says. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. That the Holy Prophet ﷺ had declared, Allah had declared to the Holy Prophet ﷺ that tell the world that Islam is true and is from your Lord. So whosoever wants to believe can believe, and whosoever wants to disbelieve can disbelieve, because there is a command of la ikraha fid deen, there is no compulsion in the matter of faith. Then Allah says, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ حَقُّ فَإِنَّمَا يَهْتَدِي نَفْسِي وَمَنْ ضَلَّ فَإِنَّمَا يُضِلُّ عَلَيْهَا وَمَا أَنَا عَلَيْكُمْ بِوَكِيلٍ. That, O the Messenger, tell the people that the truth has come from your Lord. Whosoever will accept the guidance, it will be his own benefit. And those who will follow the wrong path, its harm will also be suffered by him. I am not a guardian for your guidance. So the Holy Prophet ﷺ showed this in practice when Banu Nazir, that they had given their children to Banu Nazir from their childhood, and because of their excesses, Bani Nazir were expelled and exiled. Then the Ansar wanted to stop their children they had given to them. The Holy Prophet ﷺ said that once you have given it over to them, there is no compulsion in the matter of faith, the children will stay with them. And it was his teaching as a result of which his caliphs and his companions rigidly adhere to it. For example, if slave of Hazrat Umar states that Hazrat Umar said to me many times that you should become Muslim, accept Islam. But whenever I refused, he said, yes, fine, because there is no compulsion in Islam. When it was his time of demise, he said, I free you, you can go where you like. So this is the teaching and this is the practice in Islam of freedom of faith, that he did not force his slave. And the Pope says that in Islam there is compulsion and question. Then Holy Quran says, Aslamtum aslamu wa qadihtado wa inna alaykal balagh wallahu basirun bil ibad. This was the whole some part of the verse, that O the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell these people who have been given the book and those who are idolaters, that do you accept Islam? If they obey and submit and accept Islam, they are guided. But if they turn away, then your responsibility is only to convey the message. Allah sees the people, and it is the responsibility of God. He will decide who will be punished and who is going to be treated in what way. So these are the commands, and the last verse of the Holy Quran that I have recited is after the fall of Mecca when the Muslims were in power. So rather than having these baseless objections, they should use intelligence and be just. There is not a single example of force in Islam. They allege that the Holy Prophet ﷺ has used force. The Holy Prophet ﷺ did not even tolerate that somebody can accept Islam in hypocrisy, falsely. For example, there is a report that a prisoner, a disbelieving prisoner, was presented to him and he said, I am a Muslim. The Holy Prophet ﷺ said, not now. If you had accepted Islam earlier, would be, oh, now that you are a prisoner, you are becoming Muslim for gaining freedom. So the Holy Prophet ﷺ did not want him to be forced into accept Islam. What he wanted was that one should accept within one's heart, and one should present their heart to God, and that those prisoners were freed later. There is a permission of war in Islam only to the extent when the enemy is fighting or is creating a situation of unrest. And if unrest ends, then he says, you have no right to fight. Allah says, وَقَاتِلُوهُمْ حَتَّى لَا تَكُونَ فِتَةٌ وَيَكُونَ دِينُ لِلَّهِ فَأَنِنْتَهُ فَلَا أُدْعَانَ إِلَّا عَلَى الظَّالِمِينَ. That, O Muslims, you should fight with the disbelievers who fight you till there is no disturbance, and everyone can have the faith with the fear of God. And if these people stop aggression, you should stop, because you cannot fight those who do not fight you. Here when Allah says that you should fight those disbelievers who fight you till there is no question or no disturbance, Ibn Umar reports that we obeyed this command of Allah, that in the time of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, when there were Muslims were in minority and those who accepted Islam were tortured and some were killed and some were imprisoned, we fought them till the number of people increased, and for non-Muslims there was no possibility to create aggression, and when we ended fighting them. Then Allah says further, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ لِلَّهِ شُهَدَاءَ بِالْقِسْطِ فَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا اِدْلُوهُ هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. That all those who believe, you should be witnesses for justice, and no enmity of a nation should prepare you that you should go against justice. You must follow justice. This is nearest to righteousness, fear of Allah, because Allah knows what you do. So this was the justice which even in the time of the Holy Prophet ﷺ created a revolution, and even after his time they created this revolutionary change. If you look at the life of companions and examine them, we know that the revolution that came about, the radical change that came about, cannot be brought about with the force, by forcing people to change religion. Thus such a radical change is gained only when the hearts are changed. It is gained only when you treat even the enemy in such a way that the enemy even submit to you. For example, at the time of fall of Mecca, Ikrimah, who was the extreme enemy of Islam, when he ran away and when his wife submit the Holy Prophet ﷺ forgive him, then what was the great change brought about in him? it was such a revolutionary change which you cannot bring about with the force of sword. He advanced in faith so much which you cannot achieve without love. Their hearts were filled with such selfless service which you cannot do. Their sacrifices level rose so great that which cannot be raised without changing the hearts. Their sense of honor for Islam that they showed was so great that it can only be done when you act upon such a teaching. And then the companions showed such examples and demonstrated such examples of love and sense of honor for Islam that the whole history is filled with such instances. About Ikrima, it says that before that time he fought against the Holy Prophet ﷺ and did his utmost to destroy Islam. But when Mecca fell, then he ran away by thinking it will be a disgrace to submit to the Holy Prophet ﷺ. But when he became a Muslim, his sincerity was so great that in the time of Abu Bakr, he played a great role in destroying the rebellion. And when people were falling in the fight, that as you cut off the grass, then at that time Ikrima went into the fighting army. Some people said that the war is very serious, it is not right to go and fight the enemy. But Ikrima rushed forward by saying that I am fighting for the sake of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and for the I have been fighting against the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now I will not step back in fighting for the sake of God. And his whole body was pierced with the with sword. It says that when Ikrima used to get the spoils of war, he used to spend in the service of the faith. So such changes are brought about in the heart, not with the force of sword. The non-Muslims to allege that they used to convert by force. The history is filled with such instances which falsify their claim and allegation. What was the teaching of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this regard? There is an instance mentioned that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Man qatala muahidan, that a Muslim who will kill a non-Muslim who has become part of the rule of Islam, then beside the punishment in this, he will be deprived of any breeze from paradise. It is reported that once Hazrat Umar passed in such a place that they had been forcing the non-Muslim to give the taxes. Then Hazrat Umar said, angered, what is the matter? They said, these people do not pay the taxes. He said, we cannot pay it. Hazrat Umar said, you cannot put burden on them which they cannot afford. Let them go. I have heard from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who hurts people in the world, he will be under divine punishment. So they were forgiven those taxes. Hazrat Umar used to remember people under him so much that he had given a will at the time of death that I admonish the next Khalifa that he should be compassionate and lenient to the non-Muslim citizens, and he should defend them and fight their enemies, and she must not put such a burden on them which is beyond their capacity. If they were forcing them, then why should they treat like this? Or why did they give this preaching? When the Holy Prophet ﷺ went to Medina, he had given a compact. Hazur used to send his companion Abdullah bin Rawah, and according to his teaching, Abdullah bin Rawah used to do that. He used to give the crop in two parts and used to give it to the Jews, and you can take whichever part you prefer, and the remainder part he used to accept. This is how he used to divide it according to their contract. Hazrat Umar used to look after the non-Muslim citizens, and he used to tell their governors to look after them well, and used to ask himself if they had any problem. Once a delegation came to Hazrat Umar. Hazrat Umar asked him the first question, "Are you suffering anything from because on the side of Muslims?" He said, "We have seen nothing but good turns and compassion and devotion from the Muslims." When Syria was conquered and the Muslims took taxes from the Christian citizens, when Syria's Amir Abu Ubaidah had returned all the taxes to the Christian citizens and said that now that we cannot fight on your behalf, it is not permitted for us that we should keep your taxes. So Christians prayed for the Muslim that may God so destine that you should be conquerors and be the rulers of these areas again. So when the Muslims came back, when they conquered the place, then the tax was paid to them again. Now you tell us, do you say this is force? Those who allege against the Holy Prophet ﷺ, if they are just and read this history, they would know how much pain he had and concern he had for the non-Muslims when he invited them to Islam was with love and compassion. There is a report that the Holy Prophet ﷺ and his companions in their victories, they used to look after the non-Muslim. For example, in Medina once a Jew fell ill. The Holy Prophet ﷺ came to know. He went to inquire after his health, and seeing him in a serious condition, he preached to him Islam, and he was influenced. But because his father was living and was standing right next to him, he looked towards his father as a question. And the father said, "If you want to accept Islam, I permit you." Then his son recited Kalima and became Muslim, and the Holy Prophet ﷺ was very pleased. He said, "Thank God that your soul has been saved from divine punishment." Now with this Quranic teaching which I have mentioned, and with some examples of the practice of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, it is quite clear that it's a false allegation that Islam has been spread with the force of sword. Now we know how it was spread. And in the beginning, as I had mentioned, how they had treated them. And this also showed their condition. But those who are just Christians, who are, what do they say about the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Carlyle writes in the book that it is said among us Christians that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a false claimant and his religion is false, and all these things are now considered wrong, which the false Christians had alleged against the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and which defame us, and whatever words the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had spoke for 1200 years, they are a guidance for 180 million people. How many people believe in the teachings of Islam, and no one else believe in so many numbers in that book? And so this is baseless to say that a false person has spread this religion. Sir William Muir, who had also written wrong things, and is prejudiced, but he says without hesitation, we believe that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has removed many the false teachings and superstitions he had destroyed. It is a miracle. A man, a believer of Islam, can take this pride that he has such a righteousness in him and piety in him which is not found in any other religion. Then another Christian writes that the final thing which you need pondering in the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that whether his prophethood was of benefit to people or of harm. Those who are enemies of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Christians and Jews, despite not believing the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a true prophet, they would accept that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had claimed to be a prophet for something very good. That as though they accept that beside us, that Islam is better than all other religions. The Holy Prophet ﷺ changed their life with the prayer, worship and fasting, which is a good. Whatever sacrifices they gave on idols, the Holy Prophet ﷺ stopped that, and the Holy Prophet ﷺ put a spirit of love and sacrifice for others, and he stopped all the aggression and oppression against the slaves and widows, and whatever they had the fights between the tribes that came stopped, and they were turned against towards love between Muslims. Then John Davenport writes that it is great mistakes to think that the faith of Christian for the Holy Quran is spread with the force of sword. Those people who are free of prejudice, they will accept without hesitation that the religion of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who had changed into worship and charity, and where he with the animosity he changed into brotherliness, he was a great blessing for humanity. And that is why the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not wanted to use bloodshed, which is used by Hazrat Moses to destroy idolatry. So such a great means which the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had created to influence humanity, to give ignorant allegations, how absurd it is. Mr. Edward Gibbon writes that the Muslims' fights were declared holy by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But whatever example he set, and the caliphs learnt the lesson of giving freedom to others. If he wanted, he conquered them, he could have destroyed all the idolaters and idols. But the Holy Prophet ﷺ established justice and used great justice. Count Tolstoy. Writes that there is no doubt in this, that the Holy Prophet ﷺ was a great reformer, that he took the world towards the light of religion and created the harmony and peace and gave teaching to piety and stopped them from human bloodshed and opened up the paths towards great civilization. Then Bernard Shaw writes that in the Middle Ages the Christians had presented a horrible picture of Islam, but the matter does not end here. They have not praised the Holy Prophet ﷺ, and I have studied this minutely, and I have come to the conclusion the Holy Prophet ﷺ was a great man and is the true deliverer of humanity. Another Reverend Bosphorus Smith says, another Christian, that as a governor of her religion and thing, the Caesar and Pope are two personalities were gathered together in the person of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was Caesar, but was independent of the fame of Caesar. And if someone says that without fighting he established the peace, it is only the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had all these powers without using force. Pringle Kennedy is another Christian who says that if you were to say in clear terms is that the Holy Prophet ﷺ was the greatest man of his time, and we should understand his time. After 550 years after Jesus, he came in the world. Then all the religions in Roman Empire had lost their respect. According to Caesar, Rome, they used to worship the rulers, but despite their religion, they had followed this new trends. But the Roman Empire could not give the peace to the world. Then the Iran started influencing it and they had influenced their religion. The worst harm in that was that they used to give up. The Christians who had conquered Roman in the 4th, they had also accepted. They were totally materialist. Then how could this great change be brought about within few years? That is, after 650 Christian era, the advent of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the whole history changed and it is a great chapter in the history of humanity. And then despite the Christians going against them, no one can put covering over what the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam changes he brought about. One has to admit that the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the best example of a revolution brought about by man. S.P. Scott says, if the purpose of religion is to create happiness for man and destroy their ignorance and to revive their good qualities, then when the whole humanity will be presented to God, it will then be accepted that without one has to accept that the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is without doubt the messenger of God, and this is not a claim without any logical support. There are many examples. Let me shorten it. One of the Christian writes in World Faith that the Muhammad of Arabia never started war or bloodshed. All his wars were defensive wars. If he fought was only to keep his freedom. One can say for sure that it is 1950, so he said 140 million Christians who had destroyed thousands of people with a bomb. There is not any people who can put any sight of doubt who, even in their worst situation, he only killed 500 or 600 people. Those people in the ignorant days who were after each other's blood, if to compare the death in this 20th century is totally useless. Whatever the deaths were done in Inquisition and the Christian fights, that they used to fill people's feet with blood. Davenport writes, one can say for sure that if there were Asian rulers instead of the Muslims, then they would not have treated Muslim in the way as the Muslim treated the Christianity, because Christians had oppressed such people with the great prejudice where they had a difference of religion. Hazrat Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam says, because the one who has also said this, that there is in the Holy Quran, there is in a command to convert by force. Promised Messiah says, neither people have intelligence or any knowledge. He is only prejudiced by the Christians because, as is the custom of these Christians, they have written in their books that Islam has given command to convert into Islam by force. Therefore, without any research or checking, they have presented these false statement of the Christians. From the Holy Quran says, "Like Rahafiddin, Qatabayina Rushdo Minal Ghai," that there is no compulsion in religion because the falsehood has become distinct from what is righteous, then why should one use force? In the Holy Quran it says that you must not do any compulsion in the matter of faith. Yes, people give without any basis, they allege and against Islam that it is forced. So we say to people that fearing God, they should tell with this verse, does it show force, use of force, or it gives proof that there is no force. As it says in the verse of the Holy Quran, that, the messenger, if somebody from the idolaters wants your refuge, give them refuge and protection. And keep them in protection that when he can understand your teaching and then take them to a place of shelter. This is necessary so that they people do not know the reality of Islam, and the Holy Quran does not give the teaching of force, because otherwise it would not say that those who do not become Islam, take them to place of shelter, because otherwise it would have said that once they are under your power, you should convert them to Islam immediately. Next question that he raised is that Islam's God is such which is not believed by intelligence of man. Islam's God is such which, accepting his existence, he invites people to logic. If one has this concept that a God who has created heaven and earth and is his master, then we should also see that he also has all the powers. Rather than mocking, one need to use intelligence to know the God of Islam. Promised Messiah says that Islam's God is through, which is seen through natural laws. Islam has presented such a God which man's conscience is presenting and the natural laws are presenting. Then Promised Messiah says further, you should know that the God to which Allah invites us, it says, وَاللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ الْمَلِكُ الْقُدُّوسُ السَّلَامُ الْمُؤْمِنُ الْمُهَيْمِنُ الْعَزِيزُ الْجَبَّارُ الْمُتَكَبِّرُ وَاللَّهُ الْخَالِقُ الْبَارِئُ الْمُصَوِّرُ لَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ الْحَيُّ الْقَيُّومُ قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُن لَّهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. That is God who is one and only God without associate, none is worthy of worship except He. It says, because if He is not without associate, perhaps an enemy can overtake Him. And then Godhead will be in danger. And it says, no one is worthy of worship beside Him. It means that He is such a perfect God whose great attributes are so great that if you want to elect a God because of their perfect attributes, or imagine the perfect attributes of God, then no one can there be except God who it is injustice to associate anyone with Him. So Islam is free of all association. It is this injustice is being done by Christians who have presented man like God. Then he knows himself, his own existence, no can overpower him. We can see end of everything, but we cannot see encompass God. None is hidden from him. Allah knows each and every particle of this world, but man cannot know. He knows when he will dismantle this and bring about day of judgment. There is no one else knows when this will happen. So it is that God who knows all these times, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, that with his compassion, without any reward, he provide everything for them. That, for example, he has created sun and moon and everything before our birth. And this is called Rahman God, and as a result of this compassion, he is called Rahman God. Rahim is that he gives good reward of pious deeds. He does not let any effort be wasted. And for this reason, he is called Rahim. And then he says, Malik Yawmiddin. He is the master of Day of Judgment. There is no one else who has the reward and punishment in his hand. And he is not sitting aside and not doing anything. He himself does everything and makes everything functioning. He needs nothing. He has power over all things. He doesn't need to make a counsel and then that counsel should help him. So if you talk of logic and intelligence, then the concept which Islam has of God, intelligence and logic does not believe them and accept them because they have made three gods. If one is not agreeing, then it will be difficult to make decisions. So Promised Messiah says that, and he gives all the reward and punishment. Al Malikul Quddus, that he is sovereign and he is holy. And if a ruler loses his all his citizens, then he cannot keep his kingdom. And where will they get taxes? If people started debating that what is more in you, what superiority he can prove. So God's sovereignty is not like that, that he can create new creation. If he has no such power, then his kingdom could not continue without submission. Then by giving freedom to people, how would he continue his sovereignty if he cannot create again? Would he bring them back? So this way his kingdom would not continue and he would have been a blighted kingdom. His would have been a blighted kingdom. So the rulers, when they say they cannot do anything other than oppression and aggression, they start doing that freely. So it is Islam's God who is free from all oppression. So God does not need to suffer other. If God cannot create anything that he wants, then either like weak rulers he would have used aggression or would have renounced Godhead. But Allah's rule is going in the perfect way. As-Salam, he is a protector. He is a source of peace. The meaning is clear, that if he himself was suffering, he would have suffered at the hand of others and could not win his aims, then how he could have continued? So how would people think that God will relieve us from difficulty? So Allah says about the false gods that it says in the Holy Quran in a parable that if the false gods were to get together, they cannot even create a fly or a wing of a fly. If they wanted to get together to create a fly, they cannot even if they join hands. But even if a fly were to snatch away something, they have no power to restore it. Their worshippers are weak of intelligence and their gods are weak of power. God is such that He has all power and all mighty and subdue all of them. Neither could someone overpower Him nor could kill Him. So those people who do not believe this, they do not value how God should be. God is forgiver and establishes logical proofs on His existence, which means that the one who believes in the true God, he cannot be ashamed anywhere, nor will he be ashamed before God, because he has most powerful logical proofs. But the one who believes in false God, rather than giving proofs, he believes everything ignorant as part of his faith. Then he says, Al Muhaminul Azizul Jabbarul Mukabbir. He protects everything and is sorts everything out, and he is independent. Wallahul Khaliqul Bariul Musabbir Wallahul Asmaul Husna. That is a creator and is a maker and a fashioner in the wombs. And whatever good you can think of are all his names. Yusabbihu lahu ma fis samawati wal ard wa huwal aziz hakim. Those who live in the heavens, they glorify him. Those who live in earth, they do. And which means that there is a creation in the heavens, and they also follow the same rules. So if you do not believe in such, then he says, Rabbul Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawm Al-Din, Ujibud Da'i Zad'an, that he is God who nourishes all worlds, and he is the master of the day of judgment. He has not given anyone else the power to judge them. And he accepts prayers and gives replies. Lahul Hayyul Qayyum. He is the soul of soul and supporter for all living things. If he is not such, you will worry about his life, that he might die before us. And he is one and only God. Neither is he born, nor he begets anyone, nor he is begotten. And no one is like unto him. Promised Messiah says, you should know that the Christian's religion, which is said, it is because Jesus has never taught Trinity. As long as he lived, he always taught of one and only God. And after their dead, his Jacob, who was his successor, he also gave. But St. Paul unnecessarily started fighting this and gave teaching opposite to their teaching. And eventually, he increased so much in his thinking that he established a new religion and freed people from the law of Torah. And he said, after atonement of Jesus, you do not need Sharia law, and the blood of Jesus is enough for your deliverance. You need not follow Torah. And then he put another thing, that they allowed them to eat pig's flesh, whereas Jesus could declare pig as impure. When the Holy Promise, Jesus has said, it is pearls that you put against before the pigs. That means he said that the good teaching of Bible is like pearls. So that is why they made even the pig as lawful, whereas it says in Torah that it is unlawful. So when the Pope Sahib has said that such a belief which is based on Bible is compatible with religion, it is not Jesus' teaching, it was to please Christians. But the just Christian says they know what is God. For example, one of them says that the religion of Muhammad is free of doubts, and the Quran is a great proof on the existence of God. And they had rejected with the logic the worship of stars and other than God. It is based on intelligence and logic and wahi. It was established by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that his followers are called themselves Unitarians from everywhere. So this is the religion of Islam, which forces the intelligence people that there are logical arguments found in the existence of God in Islam. So at the end I say to every Ahmadi that whatever stands are taken against Islam, we can only overpower them by kneeling before God and seeking help from God. Only then we can pass through this. And therefore you should call on God more than before so that He can demonstrate His powers and deliver this world from false gods. Those with their pride of their power, they are attacking the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Islam. So with the arrows of our prayers, their arrogance will be destroyed. So you call on God, who is one and only God, who is Rabbul Alameen, who was the Lord of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that soon this one and only God's rule is established in the world. The Muslim countries should also think that they should ignore their mutual differences. They should stop their hatred of each other and their enmity against each other. And by uniting, they should try to protect the name of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and stop such activity, as a result of which the opponents can raise their finger against them. May Allah help them. Ameen. Today also I will lead funeral in absentia. One is of Peer Moinuddin Sahab, who was the father-in-law of Khalifatul Masih II, and this way he was also my uncle, and has taught in Jamia and has worked, and he was a scholarly man. He was dead a devotee. The second funeral of respected Amina Khatun Sahiba, who was the wife of Maulana Nazir Ahmed Mubashir Sahib. He has Maulvi Nazir Ahmed Sahib Mubashir. He spent a long time in Ghana with great sacrifice. May Allah raise his spiritual stations. The other funeral is Major Saeed Ahmed Sahib. He was the father-in-law of Mir Muhammad Ishaq Sahib. Two of his sons are devotee. One is Murabbi and the other is Naib Talim, Wakil Talim. I will also lead his funeral prayer in absentia. There is one Murabbi Muzaffar Ahmed Sahib of Mauritius. His mother has died, and we will also lead her funeral in absentia also. There is one of our Murabbi of Muhammad Nagar, Abdul Nasir Mansoor Sahib. His mother has also died. Sardar Begum Sahiba, Dr. Sardar Begum Sahiba. I have received his letter, her letter, that Masih, Khalifatul Masih, the fourth, had promised to lead his prayer. May Allah raise their stations and treat them with forgiveness. Ameen.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وَدُوهُ يَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ